sent to a rugged cross.
My Savior,
bear my sins.
My replacement
took my place.
My provider.
Now I have.
Come on, my Redeemer.
Sent to a rugged cross.
My Savior.
Bear my sin.
My replacement.
Took my place.
My provider.
Now I have.
Just the knowing.
Savior
rose from the dead,
so I could rise.
Awesome ruler,
crucified,
just to call me.
Hope of glory,
one day,
I will get to see.
I am grateful,
he loved me enough.
Just to know him.
Good morning. It is another day. It's another Saturday, and it is time for us on Blog Talk Radio with the Run of Christ Ministries family to go to school. Let's pray. Father, this morning we thank you for Jesus. And truly our desire is to know him. As our brother Paul said, not just to know him in the power of his resurrection, but in the fellowship of his suffering. So today we're here presenting our bodies so that we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 All right. I got a couple people out here. Okay. We are continuing and developing a strong apologetic. I spoke with someone yesterday about the necessity of not only knowing who we are, but why, what we actually believe and why we believe it. And so here we are at this next juncture where we just got through going through all about Jesus, and we're still going to keep talking about Jesus. But now we're going to talk about what it means to have authentic Christianity, especially nowadays where so many people say they're Christians, but the evidence is not there. So we're going to know how to know who we are by whose we are. Our topic is authentic Christianity and the question, what is truth? Someone please read the key verse, and please forgive me for not delivering sheets this week. I got a little hectic towards the end of my week. So somebody read our key verse found in Romans chapter 8.
For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Romans 8:28.
All right. So, and notice on your sheet that I highlighted and underlined to be conformed. So got some definitions here for you. I've been telling you I was going to give you a definition of authentic. And the second definition of the word authentic means conforming to an original so as to reproduce essential features. It's conforming to an original so as to reproduce essential features, and meaning essential features of the original. Then we have the definition of the word conformed, having the same form as another. The Greek word is given there, this sumorphos. Is that Greek word. And then the word truth. Truth meaning factuality, firmness, reality, reliability, the Hebrew word emeh, and the Greek word aletheia. And there's another word that I did not put in there. Faithfulness is also a characteristic of truth. It's more attuned to the Hebrew word emeh. So now we know Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, with all power on heaven and earth given to him, so what are those who are to follow him supposed to be doing? And it's simple. We are to become authentic followers of Jesus. We are being conformed into his likeness. So we want to understand, what does that look like? So we're going to cover three essential characteristics of authentic Christians. Always wanting to know what you all know. What do you think are authentic, what do you think are characteristics of an authentic Christian?
Kind, loving, compassionate, understanding, patience is pretty much all the attributes of Christ.
Agree.
Sounds a little bit like the fruit of the Spirit, right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, these are authentic characteristics, and that's good because it's true. This is what a Christian should be displaying, is these features of kindness, gentleness, love. We're going to look, though, at some different ones.
Can we say forgiving?
Let's start. Could be. Because that's a characteristic of who?
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's go to Acts chapter 1. And I need somebody to read verses 1 through 8 of Acts chapter 1.
It reads as follows. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sis. All right, so question number one. What did Jesus, and this is according to verses 3 and 4 to help narrow it down. I'm looking for three things that Jesus did during his last appearances on earth.
He gave them many convincing proofs.
Proofs about what?
That he was alive.
Okay, so he gave them proof of life. We know, we get some pictures in the other Gospels, like when Thomas, you know, who didn't meet, see him at first, and he came up and he just appeared in the room and he told Thomas to stick his hand in his wounds.
Mm-hmm.
So that, first of all, to prove that it was him, the one he,
right,
and that he had been crucified. And then we got, of course, on the seashore when the disciples were fishing. And Jesus was on the shore cooking fish. Jesus ate. So he gave proof. We know later that Peter will tell us that he was seen. The scripture tells us he was seen of upwards of 500 people. So there wasn't just a one or two person thing. There were many witnesses.
Right.
He gave proof that he was alive. He wasn't a ghost. He wasn't an apparition. He was an actual person. All right, what else did he do?
He appeared to them over a period of 40 days.
Okay.
And spoke about the kingdom of God.
He spoke about the kingdom of God to them. Remember, according to Matthew tells us, Jesus mentions the kingdom is mentioned over 50 times.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the key emphasis of his message, the kingdom of God. So now I'm going to test you again on another question. What is the kingdom of God?
At hand.
All right. It's at hand, but somebody was else giving me the long definition.
Yeah, but God reign and rule over the earth as he intended.
From the beginning.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
It's important. This is important, us understanding. So Jesus, in his last appearances, talked about the kingdom.
Kingdom. Mm-hmm.
God, he was talking about God's reign and rule over the earth as he intended from the beginning. And now that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, what has he been given?
Dominion.
Authority. Rule. Dominion.
Authority.
Yes. And he, so we know according to scripture, he said it. all power on, in Matthew 28, all power on heaven and on earth has been given to him.
Given to him.
And so that means that the king, as we've established, the king has all power. So the king is telling them about what God's reign and rule on earth is going to be about. That was his whole message and his whole ministry was what it looks like when God is in control. All right. And then he told them to do something. What did he tell them to do?
Commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise.
All right. He told them to wait for what the Father had promised. All right. So those are three things during his last appearance. He showed proof that he was alive. He spoke about the kingdom. And he gave them instructions to wait on the promised gift. All right. So now question number two. What was the purpose of them receiving power from the Holy Spirit? That's not going to jump out of the text, so think about it for a minute. Why did they need to receive power from the Holy Spirit?
Because he was leaving, and that was for us to know that he was always with us, always guiding us.
And so we could have access to the mind of God.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Wow. All right. Anything else? That's okay. That's all good. Because we're going to need to look at something. How did Jesus, on earth as fully man, but still fully God, function? How did he do everything he did while he was on earth?
He prayed to the Father.
Okay. Okay, let me maybe ask a better question. How was he empowered to do
through
everything?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. So he's telling them, don't move from here until you receive the power to do what I am commissioning you to do. The power, they need it like him. You're going to do what he did. He basically tells them, you're going to do what I did, but you need power. It's a promise. Mm-hmm. And yes, it is proof. He's not going to leave. It's the proof. The Holy Spirit, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit in each one of us and collectively in all believers. So the Holy Spirit is with us. That's proof. And it's a guarantee from God that we are his.
But
for Jesus, he was telling them, don't go running out yet because you need power to go out. And I need you to wait because you got to do what I did in the earth. You got to bring the kingdom. You got to advance the kingdom. And you can't do it without the king's power. All right. So let's get into a little bit. Our lessons are going to come back to Jesus because we're being conformed into his likeness. So let's go to these scriptures. Let's go to Mark chapter 1 and Luke 4. Somebody read Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 13.
One day Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy." The Holy Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness, where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was out among the wild animals and angels and took care of him. The wild animals and angels took care of him. Later on,
you can stop. Yeah. All right. So now, what happened, question three, what happened to Jesus after the Holy Spirit came upon him?
He went to
a voice came from heaven.
The spirit drove him into the wilderness.
Spirit.
Yeah. He was the Holy Spirit sent him out into the wilderness for what? To be tempted by Satan. Okay. So did he send him out to the wilderness before the Holy Spirit came on?
No.
Or after?
No.
After. He needed, because he needed power, the Holy Spirit's power, to deal with what was next. Everything. But the immediate first thing was, you got to deal with the serpent. You got to deal with the dragon. Adam and Eve, in the beginning, remember, they had to deal with who? This crafty serpent in the garden.
Yeah.
And remember where they failed, Jesus, we know we're going to look at it. Let's go to Luke chapter 4, and let's look at that temptation. All right. I hope you stick with me because we're going somewhere as usual. Luke chapter 4, and somebody just read verses 1 through 13 about the temptation of Jesus. What went on in the wilderness?
Then Jesus left the Jordan, full of the Holy Spirit, and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. And during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, "It is written, man must not live on bread alone." So he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said to him, "I will give you their splendor and all this authority, because it has been given over to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. If you then will worship me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." So he took him to Jerusalem, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will give his angels orders concerning you to protect you, and they will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not test the Lord your God." After the devil had finished every temptation, he departed him for a time. Then Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit.
You can stop. Verse 13. Thank you. So we're familiar with this. Jesus, Satan, these three things that happened, three statements given. How did Jesus defeat the temptation of Satan?
With the word of God.
And what is the word of God?
Man shall not live by bread alone.
Okay. Those are the words that he said. But in general, what do we consider the word of God to be for us?
The Bible. Oh,
Jesus. Well, you're not wrong.
Okay.
You're not wrong, because that's where we're going. You kind of jumped the shark.
The inspired
scriptures.
I'll
give you a hint. Look at the title of our lesson.
Word coming from the Father.
What's the question in the title?
What is truth?
So what is the word of God?
The truth.
Okay. The truth about God. All right. Hold that. You need that because that's a key.
Okay.
That's a key to unlock some doors here. So let's get into it. Let's go to John chapter 18. first. John chapter 18, and someone read verses 33 through 38.
Then Pilate went.
Go ahead.
You go ahead.
Then Pilate went back into his headquarters and called for Jesus to be brought to him. "Are you the king of the Jews?" he asked him. Jesus replied, "Is this your own question, or did others tell you about me?" "I am a Jew," Pilate retorted. "Your own people and their leading priests brought you to me for trial. Why? What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world." Pilate said, "So you are king?" Jesus responded, "You say I am a king. Actually, I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize that what I say is true." Pilate asked. Then he went out to the people and told them he is not guilty of any crime. Okay, that's it.
Yep, verse 38.
Okay.
So in my question, question five, it should say verse 37. According to verse 37, why did Jesus come into the world?
To testify to the
truth. To testify to the truth. To testify to the truth. That's what he told Pilate. That's why he came into the world. Think of the word testify. Who testifies?
Witnesses.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it? What did Jesus say in Acts 1? You will be my
witnesses.
And where would they be his witnesses?
Here on earth.
All over the world. You will be my witnesses. And we already know witnesses are, they do what?
Testify.
And their testimony has to be?
Truth. The whole truth.
And nothing but. It's important. This is important. I hope you're beginning to see how essential this is to being an authentic Christian, formed into the image to be just like Jesus. And Jesus said that he came into the world to testify to the truth. All right. What question did Pilate ask? But did not
what is the truth?
What is true?
What is?
What's true? Because to Pilate and to the philosophies of the day that he lived in, and even in our day, truth is either subjective or relative. In other words, truth is subject to the person who's telling it. And so I can lie and say I'm telling the truth, or it's relative. I adjust the truth to my reality. Those are two things that we see through, and it's throughout humanity. I remember remember Adam and Eve in the fall, when they were in the garden right after, and the Lord said, "Adam, where are you?" and they said, "We're hiding." They told the truth there, but their reasons. What were they hiding? What did they say they were hiding because of?
because
they were naked.
Because they were naked. Was that really why they were hiding?
No, because they were naked before.
And then who told you when he asked the question? Who told you?
You were naked.
And then what did they start doing? Turf on.
Pointing the blame game.
And so we still live in a world where truth is subjective. We can watch something. We can all see the same picture, and somebody says, "That's not what you're looking at."
Oh yes.
We the whole world is sitting watching people ransack our Capitol and climb up the building and knock down barricades and cuss at police officers, and somebody says that was a peaceful protest.
Yep. Sure did.
So when they start collecting people and start issuing warrants for arrest and people start going on trial, they called what? To testify.
Witnesses.
And on the witness stand, they had to tell the
truth.
What we saw, what we heard, what we know.
Oh, Lord.
So we live in a world now we know where truth, people say truth has always been under attack from the beginning, from the fall, not the beginning because truth was in the garden, but from the fall, been under attack. So Jesus comes and he says, I am here to testify to the truth. I am here as a witness to what is true. As a human being, under the power of the Holy Spirit. I need to keep going in our lesson so we can dig out some more stuff to find out what is truth. Let's answer Pilate's questions that he didn't want to answer to. Okay, we're going to John. We're going to start with John. We're in John. Go back to chapter 1 and somebody read verses 14 through 18. And we're going to get letter A. According to the scriptures, what is truth and what does it have to do with our mission? John chapter 1, verses 14 through 18.
The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after he has surpassed me because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known.
All right. Oh boy. This is rich. Remember, this is John writing. Later, John writes his epistle much later because some things have fallen off. As usual, truth has been under attack. So here John comes, and in verse 1, John says what in verse 1? In verse 1 and 2.
The world already exists, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
And so who is the Word according to John?
Jesus.
God.
And where did the Word come from?
It comes from God.
From God.
And the Word is full of what?
Life.
Okay. Look down at verse 17.
Grace and truth.
The Word is full of grace and truth. The Word, and I think there's a line in the movie that said, the Word is a person, and he's down. The Word is who?
God. Jesus.
The Word is Jesus.
Jesus.
And Jesus is who?
God.
God. So what is the truth?
God.
Jesus is God.
Mm-hmm.
Came from the Father. Came from where the Father is in human flesh. So, because my question is, what is truth? So what is truth? Jesus is God.
So
came,
the truth
and
is
he
God.
Came full of grace and truth from God.
Yeah.
Because we live in a world where Jesus is a prophet who lives in Palestine. They even wrote in the newspaper right after Jesus died, you know, that he was this religious leader. He was a Jewish rabbi who lived and got executed by Pilate. Subjective, the person who was writing it, you know, wrote what he felt. But the truth is, Jesus is God. The second part of my question is, what does that have to do with our mission? We have to tell the truth about who Jesus is.
We have to tell the truth.
Where he came from. So in order to tell the truth, you have to know, you have to testify, to be a witness, you have to know the facts, the truth. Because facts can be manipulated. You have to know the truth. And first truth, letter A, the Word. Jesus is the Word. The Word was with God. The Word is God. Jesus is God. And he came full of grace and truth. He came to restore back the truth about God by being on earth, living out what God intended as a human being from the beginning. Okay, that went deep, and that went so deep on me that I even got to stop. Let's go to John chapter 14. Somebody read verse 6. We know this verse, but it's always good to see it and read it.
Jesus answered. Go ahead. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So according to the scriptures, what is truth?
Jesus.
Jesus. And also, what did he say at the end of that? No one comes to whom?
The Father.
Except through me.
Except through
him.
Through him.
There's only one way.
Yeah.
Only one.
There's only one way. So what does that have to do with our mission? We have to tell the truth about how to get to God.
Yes.
And there's only one way. And we cannot compromise the truth, or we're not a good witness.
Yes.
It's amazing how people have a problem with it.
Oh, goodness. Shots fired as soon as you say that.
Right.
That's exclusive. Yes.
Yes.
The gospel is the most exclusive, inclusive thing ever.
Exclusive.
There's only one way, but it's available to everyone.
It's available to everybody. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Just funny part about it, nobody else offers a way.
No.
Oh, that's the truth. Wow.
No, they don't. You study, study the main religions in the world. Everybody, you have to do all the work.
It appears that there are many options.
And so you got to remember, the world that Jesus came into, there were many options.
Many options.
They're under the Roman Empire, Greek influences. They're polytheistic, meaning they're many gods.
Many gods.
So all of their gods were tyrants. They wanted you to kill, keep people, give up your everything. They abused people. They were mean. They didn't like people. They hated people. So Jesus came to show, I'm the truth.
I'm the truth.
I'm God. I'm the truth about God. And I came to you to make a way for you, not you having find your way to me.
Amen.
And there was no way that you could pay for this. You could not pay for this. You could not do anything to get this.
That's the thing. It's free. It's free.
What's the song, Ashton Simpson? Don't cost you nothing. All right. Let's look at another one. You got John chapter 17. Somebody read verses 13 through 19.
I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, and that they too may be truly sanctified.
All right. So we know this is part of Jesus' prayer. This is the actual Lord's prayer. Right. And it is so much in here. But one thing we need to understand, what is Jesus says in verse 17, what does he say?
Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is true.
So sanctify. You some of y'all got Bibles with a definition. It's the Greek word hagato. It means to set apart for sacred use or make holy. Who is Jesus asking to set his people apart?
The Father.
He's praying to the Father. Did he tell his people, you need to set yourself apart?
Mm-mm.
You need to sanctify yourself? Or you need to join a sanctified congregation?
No.
He asked the Father to set his people apart, to sanctify them, to set them apart for use. But in this, he says, sanctify them by what?
Truth.
And what is the truth?
The word.
And who is the word?
God.
He's saying to keep them, sanctify them by me. And this is the truth. I'm the truth. I'm the word. I'm the way. I'm life. I'm all this.
All of it.
Hello?
So according, go ahead. Okay, so according to the scriptures, what is truth?
The word.
The word. God is
the
truth.
The word. Jesus is the truth. Where did Jesus come from?
The Father.
The Father.
And so if Jesus is the truth, who came from the Father, and he's full of grace and truth, and he set us apart being witnesses of the truth. The mm-hmm. only way to be a witness of the truth is you've got to be in relationship with mm. the truth in order yes. to know.
Hey, write
and,
that down.
The,
write
down. I wish I could. I'm glad it's recorded. So I want us to look at something. I got it in my notes, but I did not put it on your page. The importance, because we got to go back to this whole waiting on the Holy Spirit. We got to get back to him real quick. He said that back in Acts 1, he said, wait on the gift that is promised. And we're in John, right?
Okay.
Let's see. Where do I want to go? Go to John chapter 14. And somebody read verses 25 through 27. John 14, 25 through 27.
Telling you these things now while I'm still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Amen.
Okay. Amen. So the promised one is the Holy Spirit, right? We know this.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for us to know the truth, it's not just us sitting down recording facts. We need help in order to know the truth.
We need help.
Who's the helper?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. So who's proof that we know? How do you know the truth?
We have the Holy Spirit.
We have the Holy Spirit. And he reminds us of truth, what Jesus said, because the words of Jesus, he said, I don't speak my words. I speak the words of the Father. I'm telling you what the Father says. And since I came from the Father, and I and the Father are one, and I am the truth, my words are the truth. So what I tell you is the truth. And you don't have to worry, because when you forget, the Holy Spirit will be there to remind you of what I said.
That's the truth. Yes.
Let's look at... We're still in John, right? John chapter 16. And somebody read verses 5, 11 of John 16.
But now I am going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. If I don't go away, then I will send him to you. If I do go away, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sins and of God's righteousness and of the coming of judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Judgment is coming because the ruler of this world has already been judged.
Amen. And I always just like to remind myself that the ruler of this world has already been judged. He's been judged and sentenced. And okay, but there's a key here. Okay, we know it's talking about the counselor, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, correct?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. it says that the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will, according to verse 8, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. But look at verse 9 carefully. What sin is the world going to be, is the world guilty of?
Not believing in me.
Not believing in
Jesus.
Jesus.
Who is the truth.
The truth.
Okay.
Whoa.
Yep. Highlight that in your Bible. Underline it.
Yes.
Sin. Not of homosexuality. Not of drunkenness. Not of drug abuse. Not of greed. Not of all the things we like to list out and say, if you do these things, you won't. No. The real sin is not believing that Jesus is the truth.
Oh.
And the mission of the people who believe in Jesus is to tell them. I'm getting ahead of myself. All right, because that's what characteristic number one is of an authentic Christian. But let's get back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, so we can finish up this lesson. I hope y'all rolling with, I know y'all rolling with me because I hear it, and I can smell the wheels burning in your spiritual head. All right? So Acts 4, chapter 1. So now, let's read verse 8. Somebody, please.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
All right. So question 8 is, what is the mission of those who have been given the Holy Spirit?
To be
witnesses.
To be a witness.
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm. To be a witness to
everybody.
To everybody, but a witness about what? Are we just going to, one of the things about
to tell them
when,
about
when
Jesus.
Thank you. Okay. And Jesus is the what?
The way, the truth, and the life. The truth.
He's the truth. Truth about God. He's also the truth about mankind.
Mm.
And mankind's mission. To bear image. And he bore, Jesus is the perfect image bearer of God.
The perfect.
He completely imaged God on earth for humanity. And that's why when Pilate says, I find no fault in him. I can't charge him with anything. He's not guilty.
Yes, he did.
So authentic Christian characteristic number one is we're to tell the truth about Jesus.
Okay.
And you can't be a good witness if you didn't experience, see, or know what you're talking about or who you're talking about.
Wow.
And remember, authentic, conforming to an original, to reproduce essential features.
Hmm.
And if we're being conformed into the likeness of God's Son, we are to, in order to truly know that you should be developing, is what you said in the beginning, that fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentle, self-control, wrapped up, one big fruit. You should be fruity. Because these are the essential features of Jesus. And we're to tell the truth about Jesus, no matter what it costs us.
No matter what.
Friends. Jobs.
Amen.
We still have to tell the truth about Jesus. And also, he said, you'll know a tree by its fruit. When other people say they're Christians, this is not judging people. This is learning to discern, because a lot of people say they're Christians, but they're not authentic.
Yes.
Now, there's two reasons. They're either Christians in seed form only, and they have not been being nurtured and taking part of Bible classes like they should and getting into scriptures and learning, letting the Holy Spirit develop them, or they don't understand what it truly means to be a Christian. And if you don't, if it doesn't end and begin with Jesus, then just because you have Christian values does not make you a Christian.
Not make you a Christian.
Because you can't be a witness to what you don't know. Number one is to tell the truth. So what is truth? Jesus is truth.
Jesus.
So we're going to go through, I put it on your paper. We're going to read through the book of Acts, because if you watch the early church, that's what they did. So we're going to look at scenes, sermons, behaviors to show that they told the truth about Jesus. That's what got them in trouble. Because remember, Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you a king?
Are you a king?"
And Jesus says, "I am." Now, here's Jesus telling the Roman ruler, the governor, that he's a king. That's grounds for execution in itself. How dare you? Caesar is king. Shots fired. And then the followers of Jesus, after he ascends to heaven, go around telling people Jesus is king.
Jesus.
I'm done. I'm fried. I'm done in. But I thank God for these classes because they energize me. I don't know if you can hear today. I'm tired, but I'm good because talking about Jesus gives me strength and energy.
Yeah.
And I pray that we will continue to go deeper into studying and knowing Jesus, not just on the paper, but understanding what God has done for us and is doing through us and wants to do through us. We got a mission, and we got to get on point with it. Let me pray.
Yes.
Father, I thank you. I pray that your words go the way you expect them to, that this truth permeates us and that we stand on it, no matter what the world around us says, that we speak the truth about Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Another great lesson. Thank you, Sister Pastor Janice Tate. We appreciate you and have a beautiful day.
All right. You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay. All right. So, with your cookies, your comfort, your coffee, your tea, and after this next song selection, we will start our morning worship service. Amen.
God who giveth me the victory. Thanks be to my God who giveth me the victory. Yeah. Thanks be unto God who giveth me the victory. Thanks be to my God who giveth me the victory.
V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, victory, and this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a great day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Running for Christ Ministry Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this worship service is happening. And as always, we will start out with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer. And at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. And, you know, today is Youth Saturday, and on the 4th and or 5th Saturday of each month, we give our youth the opportunity to serve and to participate in our morning worship service. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own hometown hero, King Darius Freeman. Good morning, and thank you for being with us.
Good morning. Okay, good morning, Blog Talk listeners all around the world. This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Like she said, my name is Darius Freeman, and I'll be opening up this Saturday worship and praise. I'll be reading the proclamation. Why we are here, proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King, pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. Today's scripture will be coming from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. I repeat, John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. It is titled, The God Shepherd and His Sheep. I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. May the Lord add blessings to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this worship service now or later. Father, we thank you today for giving this opportunity to offer you some much deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word live Jesus so that all those who are lost will be found today. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with the word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior in Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask for these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, King Darius, for that proclamation, scripture, and prayer. And you know we appreciate you, and have a beautiful day.
Okay, you too.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own Shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Amen. Thank you, Deaconess Clyburn. Thank you, King Darius. All right. Amen. You got to love that guy, right? Anyway, we thank God for each and every one of y'all. And I was listening to this song by Ty Tribbett. You know, he is really an awesome guy. And he speaks to our realities, you know, like we're going to weep. But then he puts a time limit on it. Only one night, though. He says we might even cry, but only one night, though. He wrote the song. I'm going to go ahead and let him sing it. Be blessed.
We've been made a door for a night, only one night, though. We've been made a door for a night, only one night, though. Cry made a door for a night, only one night, though. Only one night, though. Only one night, though. If you cry, you can cry one night, only one night, though. Stress, you can stress one night, only one night though. Let the tears fall down one night, only one night though. Only one night though. Only one night though. If you cry, make sure that you cry, only one night though. If you're sad, make sure that you're sad, one night though. Stretch, make sure that you stretch. Only one night though. Only one night though. Only one night though. Joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. I can see a brand new day. I can see a brand new day.
Brand new day.
Looking like a brand new day.
Brand new day.
I'm waiting for them to get with me. Feeling like a brand new day.
Brand new day.
I gotta say something to them, y'all. Say, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Looking like a brand new day.
Brand new day.
Looking like a brand new day.
throne. He's right beside me. Hold my hand in a valley. Lock a knife on me. I don't know where I will be.
Nobody do me like you, Jesus. Pastor O, thank you. I like that first song you play, Only the One Night Do. Good morning, brand new day. That was a good song. And we just thank you. You always take us there. We thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. So following the selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Deacon Fairchild Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. So meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Deacon Charles Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Okay, it's time for all to call.
Come here. Okay, we good, huh?
Yes, we're ready for you, Deacon Tate.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay.
Take it away. Yes.
Sorry about that. The technical difficulty.
Okay.
Good morning. Good morning. That song just said, I believe. If you hear my voice, you know we're in front of the altar right now in the presence of the true and living God. And what you have to do is whatever you're taking to him right now, you have to believe that he's going to do something about it. That's a wonderful song that Pastor just prayed because it's just about belief. You see, Jesus always told us, he said in his word, that if you trust and believe, just trust and obey, that he'll take care of us. But what I need you to do too, you know, I like to talk about the scapegoat. And that's that same Jesus I just mentioned. See, you really wouldn't be here if you didn't believe he existed. You really wouldn't be where you are right now if you didn't believe he was real. And he did something for all of us a long time ago. He put our past, present, and future sins and all our cares on his shoulders. He took them to the cross. But the thing about it that he didn't just go into the grave and stay there. He got up. And he's now seated on the right-hand side of the Father, interceding for each and every one of us. So whatever it is, you have to take and you have to leave it with him. Because like I said, you wouldn't be talking to him now if you didn't think he could do something about it. So all you got to do is just talk to him. All you got to do is just let him know. Lord God, our Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity you've given us to come to you right now. See, it is an opportunity, Father. Every other God, every other little G God doesn't do anything for anybody, and I just got to keep it real. You're the only one. You're the only one that has said the things that you would do for us. You promised us. You told us in John not to worry about anything. You told us that you was going to go prepare a place for us where we could forever be with you. You told us that while we were here, you tell us to cast all our cares on you because you care for us. You said in the beginning that everything was created, and that's us, Father. No other God can lay, that's us, Jesus. Nobody else can claim that. But you also tell us to trust in you. You tell us not to worry. You told us that we was going to have things that were going to happen in this life, Father. But the great part about it, Jesus, is that you told us those things, and then you told us, too, that you would always be there for us. You tell us to humble ourselves before you. But you tell us after to humble ourselves that you would lift us up. You told us you would never leave us or forsake us. And the great part about it, Lord, is that you haven't. Never, ever have you left us or forsaken us. We lay down at night sometimes and go to sleep for who knows how many hours. Some of us stayed up all night last night worrying about things. But the great part about it is that you don't hold it against us. You don't hold anything against us because you have declared us, if we know you as Lord and Savior, not guilty. And Father, once again, I just got to say it. They, whoever it is that's talking to you right now, Father, you know they wouldn't be talking to you if they didn't believe in you. And the great part about it is that everything that you've done for us comes with no cost whatsoever. It's free. You did it for us. You took the sins of each and every one of us, of the whole world, on your shoulders. Just so we might be able to come to do what we're doing right now. But Father, you know it's some things that kept us up last night. You know it's some things that we're going to worry about. You tell us too in your word, things are going to happen. Trials and tribulations. The water going to get a little shaky sometimes. But you tell us just to stay in the boat and to keep trusting you. You see, Lord, that's not always easy, and you know that about us, because you came down here and took the form of a man just so you would be able to go through everything that we go through. Everything that we go through. And what better, I can't even think of the word right now to come up with. What other God, none whatsoever, has ever sacrificed themselves for anybody. And it's all free. But right now, Lord, we're praying for those that are going through things. We're praying for those that have had the loss of a loved one. Because, see, you know that too, Lord. You know what it feels like to lose somebody that you love. Because, you see, Lazarus was your friend. Mary and Martha were your friends. And they came to you and told you that Lazarus had died. But you also came to them and you raised him back up again. And Lord, you're going to do the same thing for each and every one of us one day. Even if we leave this, when we leave this world, you said we would come to be with you. You see, we have to go through that, Father. It's just the way that things came out to be. You never meant for that to be in the beginning. You never meant for death to enter this world. But then, of course, we didn't do what you told us to do. So, Father, we confess that to you, that we don't always do what you tell us to do. But when we don't do what you tell us to do, you don't kick us to the side. You still allow us to come to you just like we are right now. But, Father, praying, too, for that one that has been doing all that you said, Father. See, we know, too, that there's another something in this world, and we like to call him the devil, that you gave him this earth and you told him to have dominion over this. So he goes back and forth doing whatever he can to take us from our page. But you tell us also, too, that no matter what we go through, if we pray about everything and don't worry about anything, that you got us. Lord, it's a wonderful thing to be able to talk to you about these things. But, Father, right now, I just ask that those that don't know you, the ones that are new and coming to know who you are, will just hold on and allow you through your spirit, the Holy Spirit that lives inside each and every believer, to grow their faith. It's because faith is something that grows. We don't come into this saying that, okay, we good, we know you good, so we just going to do whatever you say. Because, see, we're still in these mortal bodies, and we do wrong every day. Lord, it's not a time that we go to bed at night. When we wake, even in our sleep sometimes, the thoughts that go through our head. But see, we serve the one, and we're talking to the one right now that doesn't hold any of that against us. So we thank you for that. Father, this morning we're praying for those that, like we like to say, sometimes are in their feelings. They got things going on that only you know, Father. Comfort them. Comfort them. Let them know that you're there. Show yourself to them, because, see, you were once here on this earth, and we did see you. And not only were you once here on this earth, but you gave us a book to testify, what we call the Bible, to testify of all the things that were done while you were here. See, no other God has ever written down anything. No other God can lay claim to making anything. No other God cares about anything as much as you care about us. So we're really thankful for that, Father, because you care about us. And that's all you care about. The sun, the moon, and the stars, you put all that in place for us. The sea and the land and everything on it, you put all that in place for us. And the word tells us that you've always been here, because the word tells us in the beginning was the word, and the word is you, Jesus. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And you did that for us. But we know, too, that your word is truth. Your truth yourself. And see, the great part about it, Lord, is that some of us have come to understand that all the other little gods can talk and do whatever they say that they want to do. But there's no truth in any of them, because they do absolutely nothing for us. So, Father, we just ask right now. I just ask right now that you show yourself to the one that didn't believe. But right now they're talking to you, so they do believe. Father, we ask that you go for those that have been with you that are going through tough times right now. That you just keep doing what you do. Comfort them, Lord. Because you also told us to comfort ourselves with these words. Let it be that your words, because only your words are words of comfort. And Lord, we can't do anything but thank you. And at all things, give thanks. Because see, if we give thanks, we know we are going doing things according to your will. But right now, Father, just go ahead and do what you're going to do. I have no idea what you're going to do, but I know what you will do. And for that, it's a wonderful thing to be able to sit and say what you will do and what you have done. Show yourself to them, Lord. And just continue to be the God that you've had from the beginning of creation. Because like we said, no one else can lay claim to doing any of this. And if we look all around us, we can see you. We love you, Lord. We don't love you anywhere as much as you loved us, because you gave your life for us. But now, we have life more abundant. We have a good life. It might seem bad right now for a minute, but there's going to come a time where we won't ever have to go through what we go through here anymore. And we kind of brought that on ourselves, at least Adam did. See, everything was good, and then Adam messed up. But you still loved us so much that you gave your only son, Jesus, that you gave your life for us. And you know where we are right now, because there's not anything that you don't know. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to talk to you again. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray this morning. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Power in prayer. We thank you, Deacon Sir Charles Tate, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you. Have a beautiful day. Okay. Well, hey, so far we are having a great time this morning, and I'm truly enjoying the service, and I hope you are too. So with more to come, I want to say, first of all, just thank you to our youth and our young adults. Thank you, King Darius, our little hometown hero, and all our youth that serve on our fourth and fifth Saturday. We appreciate you guys. And continue to pray for our youth all over the world. We need you to survive. So pray for our youth and keep them lifted up in prayer. Amen. And I just want to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiles today. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen. Okay. Time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. So the next voice you will hear to read scripture and to introduce our preacher of the hour is our very own sister, Deaconess Rebecca Johnson. Let us prepare to receive Deaconess Rebecca Johnson as she comes in her own way with introduction of our speaker. Amen.
Trying to be
ill will made the beat down, seat down, seat down.
persistence, my inconsistencies, and everything that stopped my mission. I'm so obsessed with me and what I'm getting, that times I miss what you've been telling me and what's your vision. I can't even see the bigger picture if my name ain't mentioned. That's not my plan at all. At times I fall to selfishness. I'm helpless if your spirit ain't with me. I need your help in this. Get so consumed in what I don't got that I missed the mark. I'm being transparent with you. At least we have a start. Confess my sins to you. I hope that's what my friends will do. Without you, I'm just filthy rags, dirt on my Timberland boots. I preach it so you hear the truth and know you not alone. 10 years saved and I still battle issues that I thought were gone. That's why I trust in you. I need you. I'm in love with you. I seek your face. I praise your name. I'll never get enough of you. That's why I trust in you. I need you. I'm in love with you. I seek your face. I praise your name. I'll never get enough of you. Yeah.
Thank you for your mercy, and I ask forgiveness for all the people that hurt me. My lack of living water really had me thirsty, but now my thirst is quenched, so I pray for the ones that curse me. How could I not recognize that missing you was an issue? Tough times was hard to get through without wanting to use a pistol, but now I understand the battle wasn't for me, and that the blood of Jesus Christ is running through me, and that the dirty devil's coming, he's gunning for me, but I got the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he's one in the three. That's why I lift his name up. Don't care about being famous. How could you really blame us? Jesus is the one who changed us. I thank him every day, hour, minute, even second. I'm tearing giants down, excuse me, Mr. Odell Beckham.
When I go with the Reverend Father, I give it you all of me, God. Give it you, bro. Cut from the jump, cause you never left once. I can never repay you. I can never come close, but I praise you. Wanna thank you for the grace and the grace and the payment, for the faith and the favor.
This is why I carry out the call for the lost, reaching, teaching people, leading to the cross, yeah. Give you all my time that you borrow. You the boss, you the reason I'm redeeming my power, yeah. Praise you even when I'm going through it. God told me, go, and that's the reason why I'm going through it. Lifting up my palms to the one who the throne, who the city, who the faded on the cross.
The enemy can't even attack from the back, cause I'm giving it back to the Father whenever I can't handle the back. Told Pastor Man, told Dad is that, listen to me, that I need him more than I need anything else in the whole world. No pearls compared to the poor world stored elsewhere.
From the house of the Lord, Psalms 118, verse 26. I am Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I am pleased to introduce our teaching pastor, Gerald Marshall Overall. At Runner for Christ Ministries, we come as we are, but we don't stay as we are. Our church is not a museum for saints, but a hospital for sinners. We come every Saturday and Sunday to be transformed by the renewing of our minds with the truth of the Word of the Most High God. Today's sermon is titled, Is Not in Vain, from the text, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. So turn or click in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse 58. It reads as follows. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen. Let us get a new understanding of the good, pleasing, and perfect will of our Lord, prepared with love by our very own shepherd. Pastor O, break it down for us.
All right. Thank you, Sister Rebecca. Appreciate you. And yes, tell Deacon Edward I said, hey.
I will tell him.
He's going to love that. He's like, why you keep calling me Deacon? Ah, he coming. He on his way. All right. Hey, man, we thank God for everybody that's tuned in. And you know you don't usually hear Pastor O on Saturday. So Pastor Sarah Tate is attending a conference today, and so she asked, and plus she would have been preaching today and tomorrow, so that's a little bit much. And so she's at the conference, and I'm sitting in her place. Amen. Amen. And so we thank God for her. And she's our youth pastor, and then she's going to fill up so she can pour out. Amen. Praise God. So we thank God for her. Just so you know, those of you who might be listening by your PC, you're about to go out. So if you want to stay in, call in on your phone really quick. You got about 90 seconds, amen. But don't worry about it. If you missed the rest of this service, this message, all you have to do is wait until the show is over and then go back and listen to the end, amen, because it'll all be recorded. It's just that those who are on their phones will stay in. But at 11, in 60 seconds, those who are listening by PC getting ready to get cut out. So if you want to stay in and not have to wait till later to hear the sermon, go ahead and call in on your phone, 646-915-8148, and that'll get you in, 646-915-8148. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today, and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity to preach your word. You know, Lord, I don't generally preach on Saturday. You give that to those who you brought alongside me to help me. But you want me to preach this message because it's the message we need to hear today. And so I pray, Father, that you give to them what you have given to me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Please repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears so they hear your word today. And bless my heart so it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you that my ways and thoughts are not like yours. But I'm here today to be transformed, to change the way I think, to be in line with the way you think, according to your word, so I can always know your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, if we, you know, I always say this, but you can end this sermon right there. If we could do what we just prayed to the Lord about, amen, transforming, being no longer conformed to this world, giving God our body, which is our reasonable service, if we could just get those first two, Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, if we can get them two together, all the rest will just fall in line. It'll be seeking the kingdom and his righteousness, and then the rest of the stuff will just be given to us, amen. Amen. Today I just want to talk to you for a little bit. Let me see what my subject was. I done forgot it. Okay, your sacrifice is not in vain. You know, these are the words that Paul spoke at the end of 15 chapters of a letter that he wrote to the Corinthians. Amen. If you've been listening to the messages that we preach on Sunday, then you know I've been preaching a series through the entire book of Corinthians. And they're no different than we are. Right away from chapter 1 all the way through the rest of the book, they're going to have to make sacrifices. And church, we might as well get used to that. If you want anything from the Lord, guess what? It's probably going to be over and against something else you're already doing. And so to get what he has to offer, we're going to have to sacrifice, amen, let go of what keeps us, amen, from getting what God wants or doing what the Lord wants, amen. And sacrifices, we make them all the time. But Paul is wanting these Corinthians to know, because he had just finished talking to them about three things in this chapter. He talked to them about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's for sure. It happened. He talked to them about the resurrection of the dead. Okay, that's us. When we die, will we get back up? Yes. Okay, so that's happened. And then he talked to them about the resurrection of the body. In other words, when we do get back up, will we still have these old crappy bodies? And the answer to that, of course, is no. Amen? And so Paul concludes by telling them, therefore, in view of all the things that I've talked to you about, not just chapter 15, but in all these chapters, and they are all calling for great sacrifice. Amen. That you're going to have to be willing to make the sacrifice. Now, look, if you're not sacrificing for the Lord, for instance, let me give you some examples. You're like, Pastor, what are you talking about? Okay, let's talk about just going to church. Amen. It's a sacrifice. Yes. Why? Because you could stay at home. But you have to decide. Some folks work 6 days. Amen. And Sunday is their only day off. I know that life. I live that life. I work 6 days, 65 hours a week. Sunday was my only day off. And at that time at my home church, you could end up in church, especially if there's an afternoon program, from 7 in the morning till about 6 or 7 in the evening, and then get up the next day and go to work. That's a sacrifice. Going to church is something that you have to decide to do, and a whole lot of folks can't make that sacrifice. Go with me real quick to first, Hebrews. You know, the guy who makes the coffee, because he brews. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, and let's just discover what we can from verse 25, just one verse. We don't like a lot of verses. Well, let's start with 24. We can take two. We've been Christians for a minute. Amen. We can take two verses. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 5 reads like this, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. Uh-oh, somebody ain't willing to sacrifice. Somebody can't get up Sunday morning. Amen. As some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see that day approaching. Now, he's talking about a sacrifice that you have to make on Sunday to go to church, because that's when we go to church on Sunday. If you go to church on Saturday, that's your business. But you still got to make a sacrifice. Amen. Sunday morning seemed to be the best sleep in the world. Amen. Sunday morning seemed to be the most peaceful morning in the world. Amen. And a whole lot of Christians cannot get up, cannot make the sacrifice to go to church. They start saying stuff like, I don't have to go to church to be saved. No, nobody said you had to go to church to be saved. You believe in Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection according to the scriptures. And if God sees that belief in your heart, you're saved. And then you're filled with the Holy Spirit to do what? Go to church? What kind of Christian don't want to be around other Christians? Amen. You can't even make the sacrifice. If you're the kind of Christian that don't like being around other people, you're going to have a real problem in heaven, because it's going to be a whole lot of Christians up there. Amen. And we come up with all kinds of excuses why we can't. I'm tired. All right. But you ask Jesus to give you strength to get through the whole week, but you can't make this sacrifice for an hour and a half on Sunday. Most of us, we can't make the sacrifice. Amen. To even be in Bible class. Bible class is a sacrifice. Amen. Just like Sunday is a sacrifice. But Jesus gives us the opportunity to go to church so that we can do what? Two things. Spur one another along in good deeds. Why? Because it's not easy living the Christian life. And we need encouragement from time to time. And I need you to encourage me when I'm down, and you need me to encourage you when you're down. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. When I'm up, I'll help you. When I'm down, you help me. And so God gives us the opportunity to go to church so we can commiserate together. It's not easy living this Christian life. That's why it calls for a sacrifice. It wasn't easy for Jesus to go to the cross. He sweat drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. He even asked his father, is there another way to do this? And when the answer came back, no, he said, then fix me for the sacrifice. I don't even understand the kind of Christian that don't even have enough faith to go to church. The Bible says here in Hebrews verse 23, it says, let us hold. Wow. That means we have to hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is what? He's faithful. Jesus is willing to get to Jesus is worth making the sacrifice on Sunday morning to get up and go to church. Some Christians can't get to church on time. They late. Amen. What if Jesus had been, come running up to the cross, I'm sorry, I'm late. I was doing something. I had a rough night. So, really? Late for our sacrifice so we can have eternal life. No, he was right on time. Amen. If Jesus can get up and go to the cross for me, I can make the sacrifice to get up and go to church on Sunday. I can make the sacrifice to take my wife to church on Sunday. I can make the sacrifice to get my family in church on Sunday. And I ain't talking about just worship service. I'm talking about Sunday school. I'm talking about Bible class. I love the Lord. And I don't have to go to church to prove it. Nobody said you had to go to church to prove it. But Jesus said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You know, I always challenge people who say, I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that to be saved. Really? No, we don't have to do it to be saved. We get to do it because we are saved, and we should do it because we're saved. We need to encourage one another. Amen. Verse 24 tells us that we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds so we can keep seeking his kingdom and his righteousness and doing good things like Tabitha did over there in Acts chapter 9. She was always doing good things and helping the poor. And she did not give up. When she died, she was doing those things. And when Peter went down there to hear about what was going on, they came and showed him all the good things and the good deeds that Tabitha had done. Guess what? Peter raised her from the dead. Why? She was sacrificing her whole life, sacrificing her finances, sacrificing her house, and inviting people in. She was like them Acts 2 chapter people. They were stingy and selfish before they were filled with the Holy Spirit, because it says after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, nobody held that anything that they had was their own, but they held everything in common. And by the time you get to Acts chapter 4 down around verse 32, there was no more needy among them. Why? Because the church became the social services organization in the community. And the money that came to the church, the deacons took control, and it was distributed to the people as they had need, and they took care of the apostles. Today we're doing all kinds of nonsense with God's money, having concerts to entertain Christians. Amen. This Christian sing better than that Christian, so they Sunday's best. Are you kidding me? Do you seriously think that was God's plan? Do you seriously think it was God's plan for the pastor to have 13 mansions? Seriously. Do you think Jesus would have had 13 mansions? Have you ever read about anybody who was of significance and did a good work for the Lord in the Bible? Did they have 13 mansions? But somehow I heard a preacher say one time that God wanted him to have 34 Rolls Royces, and you probably laughing. But guess what? People gave him the money to get them. I heard a preacher say he needed a $65 million airplane so he could take the word of God around the world. Guess what? He got it. That's crazy. Amen. You will not find that kind of financial behavior among God's people in the book of Acts. But they held every. They sacrificed what they had for the good of others. Amen. Now, let's talk about Bible class, making a sacrifice to go to Bible class. Ain't that something, a sacrifice to go to Bible class? You know where I'm going. You probably don't because you don't go to Bible class. Turn to 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Wow. That calls for a great sacrifice. Some folks can't sacrifice. They'll never go to Bible class. They've been I don't know what kind of excuse you keep giving the Lord why you don't have to go to Bible said when he told us right here in this verse, the only way to present yourself approved unto me, the only way to be a worker who don't need to be ashamed, and the only way to become one who handles the word of truth is to attend Bible class. But some folks can't make the sacrifice to attend Bible class. You know, this blog, the Lord and I was talking this morning about Blog Talk Radio and why it exists, that Running for Christ. When I go to the dashboard, I can see that we've reached out and touched over 132,600 people. But that doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is when the Lord came to me and said, there's about 7 or 8 people who work and can't come to Bible class. What you going to do about that? I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do about that. You tell me what I'm going to do about that. You know what he told me? Well, he ain't really telling me nothing. What he did was sent John McFall, my nephew, by my house who had a Blog Talk Radio show, something I ain't never heard of. And he asked me, would I come on there and give a biblical perspective to child support and how the church is hooked up in that and respond to it, how we should behave in it. Okay, I agreed to do it because the Lord said, say yes, but I was scared to death. Okay, but then I got on there, and after that, the Lord said, use this to get those 7 people. So we set up Blog Talk Radio to go after 7 people for Bible class because they couldn't make it out on Wednesday night because they worked. And that's the perfect excuse, right? So the Lord said, you need to provide it for them at a time when they can, when it's convenient for them. And so Blog Talk Radio came. So at Running for Christ Ministries, none of our members will be able to tell Jesus or have any excuse for not being in Bible class. The only reason you're not in Bible class is because you won't make the sacrifice. You won't make the sacrifice. That's why you're not in Bible class. That's why you don't do no home Bible study. That's why you can't. We've got Christians who can't even, we have this Sunday school and the Wednesday night lesson. All you have to do is read it, then answer the review. We got Christians who can't even make the sacrifice to do that. It takes me about 15 minutes to do the lesson. And I'm not anybody special. Amen. But we can't make the sacrifice to do that. When we don't study to show ourselves approved unto God, that means we don't care about what we look like to God. Only the word of God can make us into who God wants us and called us to be. We just heard that with Pastor Tate teaching us, right? Jesus is what? The way that leads to the truth, that leads to eternal life. But his disciples had to make sacrifices when they followed him. Okay, they had to leave their businesses. That Matthew had to leave off tax collectors. And I'm sure every other one that we don't know what they had to leave something to follow Jesus. And they were willing to make that sacrifice. I remember when Paul started his first missionary journey, and he took John Mark with him. And he took Barnabas with him, son of consolation, right, Acts 4, right? Took them with him. And John Mark didn't keep on going. He was not willing to make the sacrifice. What does God think about us? And what should he think about us? When we will get a phone and read that whole book and learn how to use it. Or not read the book, but keep working with it till we learn how to use it. We sacrifice to learn those skills to drive, especially driving these new cars. They smart cars, especially your television. It's a smart TV. Comes with a book. Not one page, but a bunch of pages. And we will learn that. We will study that until we have it to where we don't need to read the book no more. We can just do it. But we will not make that kind of sacrifice to know the God's word. Care about being approved to God. We don't care about, amen, not being ashamed because we don't know the word like we should. We don't care about becoming the one who can correctly handle the word of truth. Didn't we talk about truth this morning in Sunday school? But we don't even know the truth. Why? Because if all you do is go to church and go to Bible class, but when you get home, you don't do like the Bereans, search the scriptures to see if what you heard was true, then you're just trying to please God that you went. But God knows, the Holy Spirit knows how much time y'all spend together when you're not in church. Are you willing to make the sacrifice to get to know the word of God? You know, you got to be willing to read it. You got to be willing to turn the TV off and read. You got to be, and some of us will not even take the sacrifice to teach our kids the word of God, and then we wonder why they're so crazy. We wonder why they end up in caskets before they even turn 18. And we want to blame the devil for the way the world is. Are you helping him? Are you helping the devil teach your kids how to come to church late? Are you helping the devil to teach your kids how to take church nonchalantly? What are you teaching your kids by the way you attend church, by the way you attend Bible class? Some of us can't make the sacrifice to give God nothing. We argue and say the church is greedy. The pastor greedy. He want to buy a car or a house and he want to be rich. And in some cases, that's the case. That's your fault you belong to a church with a covetous pastor. The qualifications for somebody to become a pastor clearly says you cannot be greedy for filthy lucre. In other words, that's getting money. Okay, it's not saying you shouldn't be paid because Paul cleared that up in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. But what he is saying is you shouldn't be in it just to get paid. And if you're in the church where the pastor got everything and the members ain't got nothing and you need help and the church can't help you, then that's your fault. You need to go get in the church that functions like one in the book of Acts. Amen? They held all things in common. Amen? And there was no needy among them because they took the money that came into the church and didn't give it all to the pastor. But they gave it to, and this thing of taking money to invite singers, paying $20,000 or more to have a singer come to your church so you can get a crowd. But you got people sitting in your church that ain't going to eat tonight. And you think that's the will of God? And then we got these Christians who want to get everything from the church but don't get nothing to the church. Christians got some real funny ideas about giving to God. Some of them say ain't no such thing as New Testament tithing, but they ain't studied the Old Testament to even know what tithing is or where it comes from. Because if you ask them, they don't know. But they don't want to give God a dime. And so they say ain't no such thing as New Testament tithing. I'm a grace giver. I used to say that nonsense until 1978 when the Lord straightened me out. I used to run around teaching there was no such thing as New Testament tithing. I'm a grace giver. And then one day I'm sitting at home skipping church, and I felt guilty, so I turned on the television. A man named Adrian Rogers came on, and Lord have mercy, he tore me up. First, he took me to Matthew 23:23, where Jesus said, you tithe. So it was assumed that people tithe, and I never could find where Jesus said, don't do it. And then I finally found in the New Testament where he said, do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. Don't you know those who work in the Lord's house receive from what's brought to his house, and those who serve at the altar receive from what's sacrificed on the altar? That includes the Levites and the priests. Go read Numbers 18. And then he said, in the same way, those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. The same way the priests and the Levites received their living from that which was brought to God and God made it, gave it to them, he's doing the same thing in the New Testament. But you don't have to tithe. You don't have to give offerings. You just tell God what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. Do you know that's why our finances are all tore up? That's why when we get, that's why we live in check to check. Either we're not listening to God about being a good steward over what he's given us, or we're just not giving to God right, and our the windows in heaven ain't open. The devourer is not rebuked. And the plans we have to get money fall apart all the time. Are you giving the way God wants you to give? We got a class coming up talking about biblical giving. Let me tell you something right now. It's never been up to man to decide how much and when to give to God. He is the sovereign one. He gets to set the rules. And so we have to be willing to make financial sacrifices. Jesus says over there when it comes to giving offerings that if you give a little, you get a little. If you get a lot, you get a lot. The Lord says he don't even like people who give because they feel compelled to give, but he loves cheerful givers. He also says over there, without even looking at it, having all that you need, you'll have all that you need so that you can have more than enough so that your cup runneth over to help those who are in need. We have to make all kinds of sacrifices, church. I'll never forget when Jesus came to me about sex outside of marriage. I quickly came to the conclusion that I was going to have to sacrifice sex outside of marriage to be properly aligned with the Lord. I had to sacrifice. Single people have to sacrifice their sexual life. Jesus talked about that over there in Matthew chapter 19 when they came to him about divorce. They had two schools of thought on it. Both of them was wrong, but they was dumping their wives for any reason. And Jesus told them it was not like that in the beginning. They say, well, why did Moses tell us we could do it? He said, because of the hardness of your hearts. You would find it any and every reason to kick your wife out and put her in a desperate situation. And so he had y'all to pay alimony. And a man, if he wanted to kick his wife out by giving her a right of divorcement, guess what? She went back to her father's house, and he paid for her living until she married again. And he couldn't remarry her to get out of that debt. And that's why we have alimony today. Amen. But our world is so filled up with single families. Why? Because we ain't willing to sacrifice our sex life for Jesus. He's not worth it. So we having more sex than married people. And unmarried people having more babies than married people, or as many. We're not willing to make the sacrifice. That is a great sacrifice. To give up your sex life. To please God. Who says there's no sex before marriage. I've told you this 1,000 times. A preacher came to me and he asked me, Pastor, oh, I heard what you just taught. Are you serious? That God does not want me to have sex till I get married? I told him yes. That's a sacrifice. Amen. And there are so many different areas in our life where we have to sacrifice. We have to sacrifice not cussing somebody out for Jesus' sake. Not slapping the skin off somebody's face for Jesus' sake. Amen. Sacrifice. Doing it God's way instead of our way. It's not easy. Jesus said it like this, if you love the Lord a little bit, then, hey, you're not willing to give a lot of sacrifices. But if you love the Lord a lot, then you'll sacrifice a lot. It's up to us. Does it make us right with God? No. Jesus made us right with God. But God has came in. Old things passed away, right? All has become new. We are to walk in a newness of life. And so when the Lord highlights areas where we might need to make a sacrifice, we need to pay attention and be willing to make that sacrifice for the Lord. Y'all know at Running for Christ Ministries, when God called me to do this thing, to organize this church, I had to sacrifice what I love the most. Well, I love my wife the most. I ain't had to sacrifice her because she was legally and rightfully mine. But what I loved the most was drag racing. I had wanted to do it all my life, and in 1996, the Lord allowed me to go ahead and do it. And I was doing it. I was overdoing it, but I was doing it, way overdoing it, spending way too much, going way too crazy. Then I started skipping church on Sunday and going drag racing. Then I started taking tithe money and using it to buy race parts. Amen. And you say, what did Jesus do to you? Nothing. He came to me and asked me to be a pastor. But I knew that I would have to sacrifice drag racing to be a pastor. Amen. And so the Lord knew for me that was going to be a big, for you that might be nothing. But for me it was a, think of the thing you love the most and God asked you to step away from it. Drag racing wasn't illegal. I was doing it at the drag strip. So he wasn't asking me to leave off sin. But I love drag racing. I had always wanted to do it. My family had involved in it. My brother Kenny Joe, my brothers Richard and John, they were all involved in it. I was involved in it. I started working on people's cars, and then I started racing, and Jesus said, I'm going to need you to come away from that. He even let me pick the time our church would start. I was going to have our church start at 8 o'clock in the morning and get through at 9, and then I could take my car on the trailer and go on out to the drag strip and be ready to do my first run by 10 and be ready to race by 1. But it didn't go like that. Drag racing got cut off, and Jesus got cut on. Now, Paul, if we go back to Corinthians as I close, amen, Paul says that we should work enthusiastically for the Lord, knowing that what we sacrifice for him, what we give up for him, is not in vain. He says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So whatever, yes, you're making a sacrifice for the Lord. Yes, it's real. Yes, you're going to have to cut something off. You're going to have to start doing some things you don't want to do, like go to church on time and get to Bible class. Study to show yourself approved. Yes, you're going to have to give. You're going to have to give tithes and offerings, no matter how long it takes you to get there. It took me 15 years, but I got there. And I was willing to make the sacrifice instead of spending this on myself or whatever I want and making up all kinds of craziness talking about God ain't asked for it, okay, when the Bible says he did. But all these sacrifices that we make for the Lord, guess what? Jesus said he recognizes our sacrifice. He says when you make these kinds of sacrifices, guess what you're doing? Storing up treasure for yourself in heaven. See, everything we have on earth, and we all know it, it's borrowed. Why? Because when you die, you don't take it with you. It's on loan. God made you steward over it as long as you're here. But when you leave here, hopefully you did this. Luke 16:9, use worldly wealth. That's everything God has given you, time, talent, and treasure. Use your worldly wealth to make friends for yourselves. In other words, help people with it. And when it's gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Amen. And that's what we want. When we get home, we want to hear Jesus say, well done. You made big sacrifices for me. You gave up this, you gave up that for me, and I know you did. You've been faithful over a few things. Come, enter into your master's joy. I'm going to make you master over many things. Amen. Church, your sacrifice that you're making for Jesus, the things you give up, to do what Jesus wants you to do is not in vain. You ain't missing out on nothing because guess what, y'all? We gonna, if you're listening to my brother Richard on Tuesdays, you know that we're going to come here to reign with Jesus for 1,000 years. We will have glorified bodies. We can't get sick. Amen. We won't be broke. And we can go anywhere. Now, get this. We can be anywhere we want to be. Did you hear that? See, right now, if we want to go somewhere, we got to get in the car. We got to get on our feet. We got to go. But guess what? When Jesus wanted to be on the road to Emmaus, he was there. When Jesus, amen, you getting it now, right? You see Jesus after he rose from the dead, he appeared places. He ain't walk nowhere. He appeared places. If he wanted to walk, he could walk. If he wanted to eat, he could eat. But if he didn't want to, he didn't have to. And Jesus says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, We are right now citizens of heaven, and we look for our Savior to come from there, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, guess what he's going to do? Give us glorified bodies like his. So when you look at what Jesus was able to do after the resurrection versus before, we're going to have the after resurrection body so we can know what that's like. Imagine having a body that can go anywhere, be anywhere. Imagine being in the world with all that you need to go anywhere and do anything you want. I'm going to Barbados. I'm going to drive a top fuel Dragster because you can't, if it flip over and go crazy, I can't die. I got a glorified body. And we're going to be here for 1,000 years living in a utopian society. So God calls for us now to make sacrifices for him. Because he got later hooked up for us. You better go read Revelation 21 and 22. That's what's waiting on you. So Paul said that we should work feverishly, enthusiastically. Why? Because all that we give up, all that we do for the Lord, these sacrifices we make to please God are not in vain. I better stop because I ain't going to stop. Let us pray. Amen. Oh, Jesus. Okay, Crystal, a lot of numbers. I can't find you. You got to press one so you can come up. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for reminding us of the sacrifices you made so that we can make the sacrifices you call us to make, so that we can receive treasure in heaven. And not just treasure in heaven, but in this life as well. We'll have it here, and we'll have it there. We'll have a full life and eternal life. Thank you, Father, for reminding us. And I know you can't make us go to church. You can't make us go to Bible class. You can, but you won't. We have to love you enough to do those things, to be willing to make the sacrifices that we have to make, to do the things you told us to stop doing, we shouldn't be doing. Help us, Lord. Help us to love you. Like Deacon Charles Tate say, we love you. And every single day you give us, we're learning to love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, we went to the drag strip today, whether we knew it or not. Pastor O, I don't know how you ended up preaching today, but I don't know, okay? But apparently, this is a message that we all needed to hear, and we got black coffee today, and if we don't feel touched up in some way, shape, or form, then we might have to wonder whether or not we are actually saved, because this is a message. There's no way that this message did not convict you in some type of way. You do not have to feel condemned, okay, because God is not a condemning God. Jesus, you know, died for all our sins, past, present, and future, once for all, okay? So you don't have to feel condemned, but you should feel a little convicted, okay, because all of us can say that we're not making the proper sacrifices for the Lord. Why? Because we're not perfect. Some of us are greater in things than others, and some of us just fail at everything all the time, or at least that's how we feel, you know. So this message was a great message. It was a reminder message. And then when you think about sacrifice, the little things that we may have to give up that seem like big things to us, and God cares about everything that goes on in our life, so he knows that some things are really big things for us, but to him, they're really little, because we know that we can do everything that we need to do in the strength of the Lord. And so when we're weak, you know, that's when he's strong, and that's when he shows up the greatest. So making sacrifices in this life may seem like a big deal, but trust and believe that when you get to heaven, everything is going to be worth it, okay? And the beautiful thing about this life is that there's no do-overs, okay? Lazarus, bless his heart, he had to die twice, okay? We talked about that, I think it was last week or the week before in Sunday school, like, you know, but when this life is over, on this earth, it's a done deal here. We don't get to come back and do this again. So you just want to make sure that whatever you're doing it for the Lord. You're doing it for his glory. And the reward that you get is going to far outweigh whatever sacrifices you feel like you've had to make in this life.
Amen. So thank you, Pastor O. Like I said, I don't know how you ended up on deck preaching today, but everything happens the way that it's supposed to. And so that was a word that we needed to hear. And so we thank you so much for taking the time, even if you had to just jump in there. We know you got a database in your brain full of messages already. So we just thank you for taking the time to just to give that to us, because we all needed to be reminded that this life is short, but we're still required to do what the Lord has asked us to do. Amen. So happy Saturday, everybody. Good morning. It is the last Saturday in the month of October, October 28th. Time is marching on, but God is still good, and we are so grateful. Amen. So just by way of a couple of announcements, Sunday, tomorrow, October 29th, we will have our Sunday school class beginning at 9 a.m. With our teacher, Assistant Pastor Janice Tate, and then we will continue on with our praise team, who leads us in songs and worship as we proceed into our worship service that begins at 10 a.m. Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon will be bringing the word for tomorrow. Amen. So make sure to come on out and enjoy worship service with us. We are at River Rouge High School in the LGI Auditorium. Amen. Every Tuesday, again, 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall, is on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. If you don't listen to him on Blog Talk, I know to be able to. And now with work being so all over the place, I don't get a chance to listen live, but it's okay. He has a YouTube page. You can watch it on YouTube if you need to do that. You can always, again, go back to our Blog Talk radio show page on our church website, rfcm.org, and you can catch them. Last week when I said, I feel like maybe we've had like 1,200 and something shows, but in my mind, I was only thinking just like Saturday shows, but then I totally forgot the announcement that I say every week that everything we do on Blog Talk is recorded, archived, and free. So I forgot about Bring Back the Family, and I forgot about all of those that are going on throughout the week. So when Pastor said over 1,800 from 2009 up until now, that is amazing. And I don't think that Pastor O thought that it was going to go like that when he first started off Blog Talk Radio. I'm sure he didn't think it was going to go like that. He was not able to see this far down the road, but God was absolutely able to. And so here we are all these years later. Amen. So again, don't forget, Tuesdays, 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. Wednesdays at 6 p.m., again on Blog Talk Radio, we have our Bible classes. A textbook is required if you want to participate. So if you plan on being in attendance, get a book, go to our church website, rfcm.org, and click on the Bible classes tab to purchase the book for the class. So please read the assignments. Before the class, the questions are at the end of each chapter for discussion. Amen. So Deaconess Loretta Welch, Deaconess Lolo, amen, will be teaching this week with a lesson entitled Joshua's Final Exhortation. Amen. So just make sure to tune in and participate in that. Amen. Every Friday, 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with Bring Back the Family. Please make sure to join in and comment on the discussion that's going on about my kids, your kids, they kids, our kids. Amen. So make sure to tune into that. A couple new announcements. Okay, I've been announcing this particular one for a minute. Beginning Monday, November 27th at 6 p.m., Monday, November 27th at 6 p.m., we will have a new Bible class here on Blog Talk Radio entitled Biblical Giving. Amen. It will be taught from Pastor O's book entitled Biblical Giving, and it will be taught by Pastor O. Amen. So if you're a member of Running for Christ Ministries, get in touch with Pastor O through our church website, rfcm.org. Or say something to Sister Sheila at church, because if you tell Pastor O, he's going to forget, amen. So either reach out to him through the church website, or if you're in church, say something to Sister Sheila Overall to get you a book. If you're a member, again, of Running for Christ Ministries, there is no cost for the book. If you visit Running for Christ Ministries, you know, frequently, you know, a couple times a month or whatever, also say something, because we'll make sure to get you the book at no cost as well. Amen. So again, put it in your calendar, November 27th, 6 p.m., new Bible class on Blog Talk Radio, Biblical Giving. Amen. The next biggest announcement that I have is that we are coming home. Amen. 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 We are coming home. So tomorrow is going to be our last Sunday at River Rouge High School. We will return home to our church home in
November, on the first Sunday, which is November the 5th, which is Church of the Resurrection in the building. The address is 27085 West Otter Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. Our Sunday school does begin again still at 9 a.m. Our worship service will continue on at 10 a.m. But I need you to make a notation that on November the 12th, we will hold our services at River Rouge High School due to the Church of the Resurrection having a previous engagement on the calendar for that Sunday, okay? So the November the 5th is our first Sunday back in our church building. November the 12th, we will bounce back to River Rouge High School in the LGI Auditorium for our Sunday services that day. And then beginning November 19th, moving forward, we will be back in our church building again, 27085 West Otter Drive in Ecorse, Michigan, again on November 19th and every Sunday after that, unless something else comes up where we have to make that adjustment. Amen? Amen. So please remember, again, that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. Over 1,800 classes and services that have been recorded. You can get your whole Christian life together, get touched up, get reminded, or just realign yourself with God all the way back to 2009, moving forward up until today. Even last week, Pastor O mentioned classes like Kingdom Agenda and Christian History, not to mention Bring Back the Family, all of our Bible classes. We've gone through the Bible multiple times. Old and New Testament on Blog Talk Radio, so you literally can get everything you need from our Blog Talk Radio show page. Again, rfcm.org is the church website. Classes, services, jobs, books, resources, and more, all available for free. So use it for what you need it for, and just make sure to share it with others. Amen? If you want to pay your tithes or give any offerings to the church website, go to rfcm.org. Pastor O preached today. Normally when he preaches, he does not really like it for us to ask for offerings. But again, if you would like to give a love offering for Pastor O, you are more than welcome to do so. Again, church website, rfcm.org. Just make sure that you are saying this is for Pastor O's message on Saturday worship service, and we will make sure that he receives it. Amen. And so the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us and with him. Amen. So Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. Amen. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds, glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. Blessings, as we know, are not always in the form of money or material things. Those things are great. Amen. But a kind word goes a long way. The gift of love is free, and a warm smile is the universal language of kindness. Amen. So take time out to be some sunshine to someone in your world today, because as Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. Amen. Just think about that, entertaining an angel that you don't even know is an angel, and you did right. Praise God. You get a check in heaven for that. Okay? So we all need to work on that. Amen. Amen. So we do ask that you continue to pray for everyone, everywhere, all of the time. Amen. Pray without ceasing. Pray continuously for Deaconess Mary Tate's sister, Doris Gaither, all of our mothers on the move at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, Mother Cheryl, Mother Persia. Continue to pray for Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks, Nico Gaston, Darius Freeman, his mom, and his mom, Keela. Let's see, Ed Johnson and Sister Rebecca, Deaconess Rebecca, Elder Joseph Stevens and his family, all of those all around the world who have suffered through natural disasters, whether it be fires, earthquakes, floods, this whole situation going on in Israel. I'm like, if I see, you know, more just these children on website, like the internet is just ruthless, okay? So it's just too much and it's overload. But what it does is it's giving us things to pray about. Amen. So just continue to pray for all those who are caregivers and nurses and doctors and those who serve in the medical field and those in nursing homes and long-term care facilities, as well as receiving hospice care. Pray for all of our kids in school, all the way from daycare to master's programs. Okay, pray for our kids. Pray for the education system. Continue to pray for all the leaders in our communities, all the way from, you know, your mayor and whoever you got in your town and however, all the way up to the White House, okay? Again, I'm not a political person. I don't know a lot about politics, but I know some of the stuff that I see, it just ain't right, okay? So we need to make sure that we pray for those who have the rule over us. Amen. Continue to pray for your pastors and those who shepherd over you as they lead you in the right direction, following Christ. Amen. And just continue to pray for all of those who are mourning and grieving. Amen. And so as a bereavement announcement, we do ask for prayers for the Walker family of River Rouge and the loss of their youngest brother, Everett Walker of Ecorse, who passed away Thursday. He was a longtime friend of our Deacon Eric Reed and of our Pastor O. So just keep these families and so many others that have passed away, those families in Maine. I mean, we just had a horrible, tragic, preventable mass shooting, okay, in Maine. I mean, you talk about somebody taking out, you know, 20-something people and you'd have injured 50, 60 people, like, you know, and then they always tell us after the fact, all of this information that y'all found out, y'all know this, that, and the other, after the fact. But what happened to all of these things? Nobody's being proactive. Everything is a reactive situation right now. So that situation could have been prevented. But, again, you know, the world is what it is, and it's fallen. So, again, we've had an unnecessary tragedy. So please, please, please pray for those who have lost their loved ones in that situation in Maine, including the family of the person who did what he did, okay? And then also, again, continue to keep Israel in your prayers. Continue to keep Ukraine in your prayers. You know, the television, the news, and social media, they tend to, you know, overshadow certain things with certain things because there are just news stories that just become prevalent and then other things take a backseat. And we're not responsible for remembering everything, but we do have a responsibility to pray. Amen. God knows everything. He's in control of everything. So we just need to do our part. Amen. And we can't fix this world. And like Pastor O has said a long time ago, stop asking God to fix what's going on in this world because he's not going to do it. Amen. But just like he talked about, we'd be able to go to Barbados. I might not ever go to Barbados in this life, but in the next life, I got a hut with my name on it in Barbados. Okay. So we can't do everything. We're not God, but we do have a responsibility to do our part. And so we need to be diligent in doing so. Amen? Amen. So, happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week or who might be celebrating in the next couple of days or if you celebrated this entire month because this month kind of went by like really fast. Amen. So, happy birthday to Pastor Terrence Tate, who celebrated his birthday on the 9th, Assistant Pastor Janice Tate, who celebrated on the 10th. Both Quinaya and Deaconess Loretta Welch celebrated on the 15th. Jedediah celebrated on the 16th, Cameron celebrated on the 19th, and Micah is celebrating on the 29th. Amen. So happy birthday to each and every one of you. Amen. And last but not least is your devotional. This one is good, y'all. This one is entitled The Devil's Fingerprint. Okay, and this is by Pastor Jeff Shreve. Y'all know how I feel about his devotionals. I love them. And so that's why I read them to you. Amen. So again, entitled The Devil's Fingerprints, and how appropriate because we coming up on Halloween, and that's not, you know, I don't celebrate Halloween like that, but I'm not mad at those who do, but this is a very, very appropriate devotional. Amen. So it reads as follows. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. So have you ever been to a costume party? They can be lots of fun. Kids especially love to dress up as movie characters, superheroes, first responders, pirates, or the like as they go door to door in search of candy on October 31st. When the costume is elaborate, it can be very hard to tell who the person behind the facade might be. His or her true identity is effectively concealed by a mask or by heavy makeup. If you can get the masked man to talk, however, the voice normally reveals the person. Now, when it comes to the devil, did you know that he always wears a mask? He never comes to us as the evil, malevolent being that he is. He deceitfully presents himself as someone good, kind, caring, and righteous. We are warned to be on the alert for him. He is always prowling, lurking, and seeking to devour an unsuspecting soul. See 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. So how can you see through his elaborate disguise? Number one, his message will question the word of God. Satan appears to Eve in the Garden of Eden. The first thing he did to deceive her was to put a question mark where God had put a period, saying, indeed, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Any preacher or any church that questions the clear commands of Scripture and makes crooked the path straight of the Lord is doing the work of the devil. One, quote, pastor tweeted recently, the Bible is a book of questions, not a book of answers. May God have mercy on him. Amen. Number two, his message will contradict the word of God. Once the devil can get you to question the word and question the good character of God, he will then move to denying the word. You shall not surely die. The father of lies accuses God, the father of lying. How twisted is that? Yet churches all across the country swallow his lies and believe the doctrine of demons, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, that brazenly contradict the clear moral boundaries of the word of God. Number three, his message will promise instant heaven. Just as the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness, the devil will tempt us with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. The prosperity gospel is a false gospel engineered by Satan to entice the masses. It promises health, wealth, and problem-free living in this life, something that every human wants. The true gospel promises these things in the life to come. Jesus clearly said, in this world, you will have trials and tribulations, but take courage as I have overcome the world. That's John chapter 16, verse 33. All the disciples, except for John, were martyred for their unwavering. And number four, his message will be steeped in greed and sensuality. That sounds just like Satan too, okay? 2 Peter chapter 2 tells us about the character of the false teacher. He has eyes full of adultery and is greedy for filthy lucre. If I'm not mistaken, that sounds like some pastor talked about today. He is in the ministry for what he can gain, not for what he can give. He is a hireling who cares nothing for the sheep. Jude joins Peter in warning us about false teachers in the church. These false teachers will proliferate as the time of Christ's return nears. May we be mindful, vigilant, and alert as we walk in the light with Jesus. Amen. If Jesus is the light, then we know Satan is the dark, and light and dark, they don't come together. When you walk in a room and switch the light on, guess what? It ain't dark no more. So if you're walking in the light, you walking with Jesus, you make sure you be bright wherever you go. Amen? Amen. Those are your announcements.
Amen. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
I'm already.
You're welcome.
You know, I'm already recovered, you know.
Yes, oh, Lord. Uh-oh,
I can tell, though, that my voice is on this way out, though. Apparently,
it's
I was hollering a little
gone.
Bit. It's on this
no,
way
okay.
gone. I can
right.
tell I'm starting to sound like, you know, that.
Woo-wee. Amen.
Woo. Yeah, me and Deacon Tate getting ready to make a sacrifice. We're getting ready to go over to the church and get a couple things set up. Won't take but a minute. And then we'll
Yay,
be
we're
out
so
of there.
Happy.
And then I'll be officially off, you know, to therapy for tomorrow. And I'll be officially
Amen.
Off. I'm on. Jesus know I hate thinking, so I love it when I'm off.
Amen.
Yeah, I know. I go through the day thoughtless. Oh, boy.
That's awful.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Okay, Crystal. Love you, tell me. I said, hey.
Love you, too. I'm
all right.
Real. Amen.
Be blessed. Amen. Want to thank everybody for doing their part. Okay, Kathy, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, King Darius, amen, awesome young man. Thank him for his scripture prayer and proclamation, and especially Pastor Janice Tate with the awesome church school. That is, amen, amen. Get what God is trying to give you. And then once you get it, keep it. Don't let the devil come. You know, Jesus said he preached messages, and the enemy comes to steal it away out of your heart. Amen. So it don't take root and produce fruit. Amen. So don't let the devil rob you. Amen. Keep his word. Now, you want to go ahead. If you're going to attend the biblical giving class, amen, you're going to need to get your book. You need to let me know by tomorrow, because after that, you'll just have to go to pastorgmo.com, and you can order it from there. But if you let me know by tomorrow, it'll be free. But if you don't let me know by tomorrow, then you can order it from pastorgmo.com. Okay, because this class, you will need the book, because we will not read the whole book. We'll start with the review questions, and then we'll work our way through the lesson that way. Okay, so you're going to need the book. Amen? So let me know. Go to my path. Go to pastorgmo.com. Click on contact. Go to rfcm.org. Click on contact. It'll go straight to my email, and I'll know you want the book. Okay? All right. So God bless you. God keep you, and it'll be free. But after tomorrow, it'll cost $10. Amen? And you can get it at pastorgmo.com. Amen. So God bless you. God keep you. Got work to do. Amen. Deaconess Clyburn probably thinking, he's going to play work. No, I'm not going to play that. Amen. But I want to play this song by Brian Trejo. And what he said in this song is he asked a question. And, you know, I love this song because people say stuff all the time, and my reply to them is, who told you that? Who told you Christians don't have to go to church? Who told you that? Who told you Christians don't have to study God's word? Who told you that? Okay? And who told you, amen, that you didn't have to give tithes and offerings? Who told you that? Show me in the Bible where the Lord said you don't have to do any of those things. So what Brian did with this song is simply ask the question, who told you? Amen. I want to thank Deacon Charles Tate for that awesome altar call. Make you want to peek your eyes open and see if you're right up in the throne room. Amen. And lift it up off the planet into the throne room. But anyway, amen. That's the kind of prayer like they say in the old church. Some people's prayers don't even get through the roof. That prayer got through the roof right into the throne room of God. Amen. Hope you went there. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. We'll see you when we see you. And who told you?
And I wish somebody would have told me the truth a long time ago. Nobody sat me down and said, look, this ain't that and that ain't this. I was deceived for so long. It's only right that I expose all this deception in the mighty name of Jesus. Carry on, young soldier. Listen. Who told you gangsters go to heaven? Huh? Who told you money make you real? Tell me. Who told you pistols make you tough? And you don't see all the dead bodies on the field? Man, who said that mercy's for the weak? Who said forgiveness is for chumps? They say a coward dies a thousand deaths, a soldier dies but once. Hey, they mourn you for a week and they forget you in a month. Who told you God doesn't exist? Who told you God was just a myth? Who planted seeds of disbelief inside your mind so you could trip? Hey, who told you Jesus doesn't love you? Who said you couldn't be forgiven? Do you not know how much he loves you? Listen, do you not know the king is risen? Who told you Christian rap?
rappers whack. Whoever said that man was wet. The truth will hit you hard and knock you flat down on your back. Who told you Christian rap was wet? Whoever said that man was wet. The truth hit you so hard and knock you flat down on your back. Hey, two things either happen. Hey, one, you gon' get mad and hate me for correcting you, for pointing out what's bad. Or two, you get convicted and cry out because you sad and ask God to forgive you for the trespasses you had. You either run to him or run from him, and I just pray you come to him. Put down all your blunts and guns and you say, Lord, I'm done with this. You run to him or run from him. I just pray you come to him. Put down all your blunts and guns and you say, Lord, I'm done with this. Everything they told me was a lie, and man, I know that now. It's only right we hit the street and we expose that now. A dirty devil should've killed me. A Holy Spirit, come and seal me. Fill me with new strength again. Now I'm feeling new inside. Lord, I abide in you and follow you where you abide. Fill me with new strength again. Now I'm feeling new inside. Lord, I abide in you and follow you where you abide. Hey, I confide in you with confidence, my Lord, cause greater is he who lives in me than he who's of this world. Hey, I confide in you with confidence, my Lord. Greater is he who lives in me than he who's of this world. Who told you God couldn't be trusted? Man, I'm trying to tell you, you could trust him. He loves you deeply, please believe me. He hates to see his children suffer. See, I don't know what all they told you, and I don't even know who told you. I just know that he's the answer, he gets hope, man, to the hopeless. I don't know what all they told you, and I don't even know who told you. I just know that Christ the answer, he gets hope, man, to the hopeless. Yeah. Who told you?